Shalom, welcome to ASJTF. This is Chaim ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha bat Shlomo, Pesach ben Dov, Meir ben Yecheskel, Yosef ben Meir, and Melech ben Avraham. Well, I'm so happy to be back doing this great show once again. What a pleasure. I really miss doing this show. It's been quite a while, and I really miss doing the show, and I think our members miss the show. And I'm really thrilled to be back. Before we get to our many questions, and we have many questions this week, let me start off by speaking about the subject that I think is really consuming most of our concern, at least as far as the movement is concerned in the United States, and that is the upcoming presidential election. This is the most important presidential election in our lifetime, in my opinion, because Barack Hussein Obama represents a mortal threat to the very survival of America, Israel, and Western civilization. And I don't even want to think about the dreadful nightmare that will occur if, God forbid, Obama is elected to a second term. I'm just going to do two quick issues to explain, in terms of Israel and Jewish concerns, the difference between Romney and Obama, Mitt Romney, his Republican opponent, and Obama, because Mitt Romney is now in Israel and visiting Israel while we're doing this program. And I want to just bring up two issues that really show the stark difference between these two candidates. On the issue of Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, which is a mortal threat, a threat of a nuclear holocaust, these lunatics that run Iran are very capable of creating a situation in which we will face a nuclear holocaust if they obtain nuclear bombs, God forbid. And we're talking about a nuclear holocaust, possibly against the United States, possibly against Israel, possibly against other countries. I mean, this is an insane, fanatic regime blinded by their Islamic hatred. And it's beyond belief that the world, and particularly the state of Israel, have allowed them to get this far where they are close to developing nuclear bombs. Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim Jew hater, has spent his entire presidency trying to water down sanctions and especially trying to publicly and brutally pressure Israel not to survive, not to defend herself against the prospect of a nuclear holocaust. Obama has publicly, brutally been squeezing and pressuring Israel every which way possible to stop Israel from surviving and defending herself. He has sent every person in his administration over there to pressure the weak, cowardly Israeli government that we unfortunately have. Everybody from Hillary, Sodom, Clinton, to Panetta, to everybody, the CIA, the Pentagon, everybody pressuring Israel nonstop not to defend herself, not to take out Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. That's Obama. That's what he stands for. And even when it comes to sanctions, although he's under pressure from Congress and from other Muslim countries that are afraid of Iran developing nuclear bombs, because these maniacs, other Muslim countries are afraid of Iran having nuclear bombs, even though they're also Muslim haters, but they know their fellow Muslims. They know the Iranians are completely nuts. And so he's under pressure from all types of people, and yet all he does is try to water down the sanctions and hold back as much as he can any real serious action against Iran. That's Barack Hussein Obama. If he is reelected, God forbid, if the Israelis do not strike before the election, God forbid, and if he is reelected to a second term, I think the odds of stopping Iran from developing nuclear bombs will be very slim indeed. In fact, I think it's almost certain, barring a miracle, that Iran will get nuclear bombs if Obama's reelected. And that means there is a very real danger of a nuclear holocaust. There will be a nuclear arms race among all the Muslim countries in the Middle East, because they'll be terrified if Iran has it. The Saudis, the Turks, the Syrians, the Egyptians are all going to race to get nuclear bombs, and you'll have a massive nuclear arms race, and all of these countries will become nuclear armed countries, and anybody that doesn't think that that's not going to lead eventually to nuclear war has to be crazy. Putting nuclear bombs in the hands of all of these lunatic Islamic regimes, that's what Obama is leading us to. Mitt Romney, on the other hand, had his advisors say that they would understand and support an Israeli strike against Iran. Romney himself has taken a stand on Iran, saying that he will do whatever it takes to stop Iran from developing nuclear bombs, and this will be his highest national security priority. He has said that a nuclear Iran is the number one threat to world peace and the number one national security threat to the United States. So Mitt Romney is very realistic about this. He understands that this would be an unbelievable disaster. An unbelievable disaster. And Obama is inviting this disaster. So, on the issue of Iran alone, we should be doing everything we can to elect Romney. And then, of course, we know that Obama has already said that he is going to push for Israel to create a so-called Palestine state, even though there is no Palestine and there are no Palestinians. It's all a lie and an Arab bluff. But he's going to push to create a so-called Palestine state, and he's going to push Israel to go to surrender and retreat to the pre-1967 Auschwitz lines that even Abba Ibn, an ultra dove, referred to as Auschwitz lines, suicide lines, Holocaust lines, where Israel is only 10 miles, where Israel is, I was going to say 10 miles, it's actually 10 kilometers wide, which means Israel in miles is only six, is actually along the border, is actually only 6 to 9 miles wide. 6 to 9 miles wide. Can you imagine a country surrounded by 500 million Muslims that all want to destroy her, and she'd be only 6 to 9 miles wide? This is complete national suicide, God forbid. And that is what Obama has already publicly stated, that he is demanding that Israel return to those pre-67 suicide borders. And he has promised that as soon as the election's over, he promised the Egyptian foreign minister, that he told the Egyptian foreign minister he's a Muslim. The Egyptian foreign minister said this on Nile television. And he said, as soon as the election is over, he is going to brutally pressure Israel and do everything he can. He's going to lead the whole world to gang up on little Israel and demand that little Israel go back to these suicidal borders. So anyone who says that they care about Israel in any way is lying if they're willing to support Obama or if they don't do everything they can to defeat Obama and to elect Romney. It's not that Romney is such a sincere friend. He isn't. I don't think he's so sincere, and I don't trust him. But he has taken stands that are diametrically opposed to the horrifying, evil, Jew-hating, Islamic, anti-American positions of Barack Hussein Obama. And so we are duty-bound to support Romney. Now, I just gave you two issues, Iran and Israel committing suicide. Those are just two issues. There are so many other issues, that, of course, that we can speak about. Gay marriage, Obamacare, socialized medicine, the giant debts, America going bankrupt, you name it. His executive order allowing all the illegal aliens to come in here by executive order now. We thought that, other presidents thought that they would have to pass this through Congress. He's ignored Congress, ignored everything, and through executive order, like a dictator, he says now, we're just going to allow all the illegals to stay and legalize all the illegals. He's doing this through executive order because he knows he can't get it through the Congress. I mean, this is unbelievable. The danger here is just so enormous. I believe America, by the way, is finished if Obama's reelected. I think America is finished. I really believe that. And I know that may alarm some people, the people who take seriously what I say, it may alarm them. But I really believe that. I don't think this country has any chance of surviving as a great nation if this beast, Barack Hussein Obama, is reelected to a second term. God forbid, he'll never have to face the voters again. The polls show the election is close. Nationally, the election is close. But in the swing states and in the Electoral College, Obama is leading. He's not leading by much, but he's leading. Obama's in the lead. According to the polls, if the election were held now, Obama would win, God forbid. So let's keep that in mind. We've got a tough fight ahead of us, and the news media are lying and doing everything they can to reelect Obama. We have a serious, very tough, difficult fight ahead of us. And so what have we done? We are in emergency mode here. I expect everyone in our movement to consider this to be an emergency. This is an emergency. We have to do everything we can to try to convince our fellow Americans to elect Obama. To elect Romney and to defeat Obama. God forbid to elect Obama. To defeat Obama and to elect Mitt Romney. This is an emergency. Until November 6th, we're in an emergency situation. We have produced, with the assistance of the brilliant Shlomo, hundreds of videos against Obama with hundreds of thousands of views. We have hundreds of thousands of views on our videos. You know, we put up our videos all over the place, in many places that you don't even see, that we don't even show on the forum. I mean, we got our videos in all the videos that we show you on the forum, they're actually in a number of places all over YouTube under many different accounts. And just to give you an example, I'll just give you an example of what we've been doing, of our success. I'm just looking at one video now that you have seen, maybe this video that we did put up. It's called The Best Anti-Obama Video Ever. And it's a video that Shlomo did. It already has over 25,000 views. We have other videos with more than that, all over the place. Plus, we have other videos that have several hundred views. So we have some videos with tens of thousands of views. We have some videos with thousands of views. And we have some videos with hundreds of views. You add it all up with the hundreds of videos we've put up all over the place. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of views. Now, if the polls are correct, the latest Gallup tracking poll shows it's a dead heat. It's a tie, 46% to 46%. And other polls show the race is very close. If the election is really very close, if the polls are correct, then the election is really very close. And we put up hundreds of thousands of videos and reach hundreds of thousands of voters with our message, we can actually influence the outcome. If the election is really close and hundreds of thousands of people are exposed to our message, you never know. That may be enough to influence the outcome. So what we're doing is very important. We've got to try our best. And what we're doing is very important. I want to say to my fellow JTFers, you can be very proud of our videos. You should show off our videos and you can be very proud of our anti-Obama videos. They are the best anti-Obama videos on the internet. They're much better than Mitt Romney's videos and then the Republican Party and all these other groups that have hundreds of millions of dollars. Our videos are better than their videos. Now, I support Mitt Romney. We have to support him. We have no choice. But the videos of his campaign and the videos of the Republican National Committee and the videos of the big PACs that have billionaires supporting them, those videos are a joke compared to the videos of JTF. JTF's videos are the best against Obama. They prove beyond any doubt that Obama's a Muslim, that he's a Jew hater, an America hater, an anti-white racist. All the horrible things about him. In our videos, you see the real proof, the convincing, decisive proof. And if only tens of millions of Americans would be exposed to our videos, I'm telling you, Obama would lose. If only we could somehow do that, Obama would lose. And so we've got to try to expose it as much as we can and spread the word as much as we can, because the more people that see our videos, the more people that are exposed to the truth, the better a chance we have of convincing people to wake up and to elect Mitt Romney and defeat Barack Hussein Obama. And by the way, when you look at our great videos, what does that tell you about JTF with its puny little budget producing the best anti-Obama videos on the internet, better than Karl Rove with his hundreds of millions of dollars? I mean, come on. Can you imagine if we had a real budget? Can you imagine what a better world this would be? Can you imagine how we would take on all the evildoers in this world and what we could do to make this a better world? What a disgrace. How much better things would be in America? How much better things would be in Israel? How much better things would be throughout the whole Western world? Someday, God willing, I hope and pray that we get the millions of dollars we need to reach the huge numbers of people we want to reach with our message. Because you've seen with your own eyes with our videos, our message is a convincing, powerful message. If only we had the chance. And that's why every check and every money order and every cash donation sent to our P.O. box, as well as all of the support with your credit cards our main page, if people go to our JTF.org main page, everything, every contribution, every donation helps. We need your help. We need your help now more than ever. It does make a difference. This is one group that you can really be proud of. We don't compromise, and we're very effective. What's a better combination than that? And so that's the commentary for this week. And we got a little bit more than 3 months. We got a very tough, just a slightly more than 3 months to Election Day. We got a tough road ahead of us. So this is an emergency. Let's get ready. Let's do everything we can. Some of you may help by spreading our videos. Some of you may help by just passing the word around. Some of you may help by just being active on the forum and making the forum a more inviting place for the many new people who are joining. If you notice, we're getting many new members lately. You may help by spreading the word on Facebook. You may want to help by contributing money financially to us. That's very, very important. All of these things are extremely important. This is really a time when the gun is at our head. We can't afford to have Obama in there for a second term. We can't afford it. And I can tell you, in Israel, for those of you that are concerned about Israel, the people on the ground in Israel, everybody I speak to in Judea and Samaria, everybody on the ground in Israel, they are so concerned, they are so worried about Obama. You should see on our Hebrew forum what they're saying about Obama. I mean, you have people saying that you can kiss the state of Israel goodbye if Obama's reelected. That's the type of talk I'm seeing. Of course, that's not true. God will protect Israel from being destroyed completely, God forbid. But still, that's how urgently the Jews in Israel view this election. The Jews who are self-respecting Jews, not the self-hating scum that want Israel to commit suicide, because you have a lot of lunatic Jews out there who support Obama. But the ones who are self-respecting and who are half normal, who have even a modicum of normality, of a desire to survive, they are very concerned about this election. They know that this is a life and death issue for Israel, this election. They know that. And they really, really want us to do everything we can to prevent this monster Obama from getting reelected, God forbid. So let's do everything we can. Help us grow our movement. Help strengthen us, because our videos and our messages are the videos and the message that will stop Obama, that will expose him and his friends, Jeremiah Wright, Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. If we tie him in with all those people, and if we convince the American people that he is a Muslim, and that he is a hater, and that he is an anti-white racist, and that he is an anti-Semite, and that he's anti-American and anti-Israel, we convince them of the truth. We just expose the truth. He will lose. So we got to do it as much as possible. The problem is we're fighting against the entire news media, or 90% of the news media. 90% of the media is in his favor fanatically. So we got a very tough fight ahead of us. So let's get in there, and every one of us, let's do everything we can, because this is the moment of truth. Now let's go to our great questions from our great JTFers. And we start with the great Muman613. Muman, I got to thank you. You have contributed so much to our forum. You have helped with fantastic posts and threads about Judaism, about the Torah, bringing in all types of sources and rabbinic commentary. You have really, really been a force of enlightenment on our forum, and I really thank you for that. I've seen a lot of your threads and posts, and they're really impressive, and I thank you for that. Muman writes now, and I quote, Chaim and Shlomo, I'd like to thank you both for your incredible self-sacrifice in making JTF a reality, unquote. Well, thank you very much, Muman, and I thank you for everything that you've been doing to help make our forum an interesting educational place where people learn a great deal. And now, the great Yimach Shmoda Islam, another great JTFer, writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, explain what is happening in both Syria and Israel, unquote. Well, in Syria, the Arabs are acting like Arabs. Tribal people, brutally slaughtering men, women, and children. No mercy, just savage behavior. I mean, they've slaughtered tens of thousands of men, women, and children, Muslims, slaughtering tens of thousands of their fellow Muslims. Men, women, children, elderly, babies. Merciless, merciless. Brutality that defies all description on both sides. That is what is happening in Syria. We should learn from that. We should learn that if this is what they do to each other, imagine what they would do to us. I hope the civil war goes on as long as possible, because I'd rather have them kill each other than kill us. And hopefully, I hope Assad is not overthrown, because I want this civil war to go on. He's weakening Syria and crippling Syria, and that's good. I don't want Syria to become united and become a big threat again to Israel and to America and to the Western world. Anyway, thank you, Yimach Shmoda, to Obama. And now the great Israeli Heart, who, by the way, is a constant source of wisdom on our forum. I thank you, Israeli Heart, for your great posts. You're a great source of wisdom on our forum. And I'm very happy that you're active on our forum now. Israeli Heart writes, and I quote, "What if Romney picks Condoleezza Rice, as his running mate," unquote. God forbid. Chas v'chalila, we say, which is God forbid. God forbid. I don't think that's going to happen because Condoleezza Rice is pro-abortion, and that would cause a revolt among the Republican base. That would cause a revolt. So I don't think is going to happen. I'm still a little worried about Chris Christie, which would also be a catastrophe. Let's hope and pray that he doesn't do something crazy like that. I expect him to make his choice pretty soon. Let's hope that it's a wise choice. My favorite candidate for vice president is someone that I don't think he's going to pick. I don't think he has any intention of picking my candidate. My candidate would be Mike Huckabee. But anyway, let's hope that he picks somebody who is a good candidate for vice president. Anyway, thank you, Israeli Heart. And now the great Ruby Stars. Talk about someone who contributes tremendously to the quality of the forum and has been just an inspiration to our movement. The great Ruby Stars writes, and I quote, "Greetings, Chaim. I heard that there are taxes attached to the Obamacare bill, such as a sales tax on selling a home, that have nothing to do with health care. Should we be discussing this in our anti-Obama campaign?" Unquote. Absolutely. Absolutely. There is no question that Obamacare will lead to a giant tax increase on the American people and a giant increase. I'll give you an illustration. And this is not directly related to what you're asking, Ruby Stars, but it's just I'm going to speak about it because it's something that I'm becoming more familiar with because I have to study it, and you'll understand why in a moment. We in JTF employ one person, Shlomo. He's the only employee of our organization. He's the only employee in our movement. So it should be pretty simple, right? We have one employee who works full time. He doesn't get a big salary, but he works full time. And really takes a big sacrifice because he actually was doing very well before then, and he left a very well-paying job and gets paid only half of what he was getting paid before because of his love for our cause. And he got in exchange for that. He got 15, 16-hour work days. You should see how hard he works. But anyway, I don't know what we're going to do. If Obama's reelected and we have to deal with Obamacare, this is going to be a major new problem for us. This is going to be a big added expense. The health care that we're going to be forced to get for Shlomo under Obamacare is much more expensive than anything we have to deal with now. And the paperwork is going to be enormous. There's tremendous paperwork that the law requires. Small businesses and small charities are going to be clobbered. I don't know how we're going to get through this. This is going to be very rough on us. Just organizationally, just in terms of our own organization, this is going to be very rough. I mean, this is really, you know, we have a hard time right now getting by. There's too much paperwork and nonsense that we have to deal with right now. And we have all types of taxes and other things we have to pay from New York State and federal. It's just crazy right now. But Obamacare is devastating for every small business, for every charity, for every middle class family. It's going to be devastating, devastating. And we should definitely make that a big issue. Anyway, thank you very much, Ruby Stars. And now the great LKZ writes, and I quote, there's a link here to Hasbara Fellowships, a product of Aish International, offer a program to stay in Israel for a while. Are they a leftist organization? No, I don't think they're a leftist organization, but they're an establishment organization. And I don't think they're Hasbara. Hasbara means explanation, that they're like explaining things about Israel. They believe that there's a Palestinian people. They talk about peace with Muslims. They don't dare tell the truth about Islam. They don't dare tell the truth about Barack Hussein Obama, who's declared war on Israel and the Jewish people. I mean, this is not the answer. This watered down stuff, this is never going to work. This is how we got into trouble in the first place, with watered down, compromising behavior. This is why we lost Jewish youth in America. This is not the answer. Anyway, thank you very much, LKZ. And now the great Brennan fan writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim. Obama is beating Romney handily on social issues like abortion, homosexuality, immigration, etc. Is this a hopeless situation?" Unquote. I don't know. I think that they're running pretty evenly on some of these issues. For instance, on homosexuality, on gay marriage. In every state where there's been a vote, a referendum on gay marriage has lost. Most Americans, at least in terms of voting, have always voted for traditional marriage. Immigration, I think many Americans, I think many Americans are worried about the massive immigration that we have taking place in the United States from third world countries. And illegal. And Obama just signed an executive order legalizing illegal immigration, ignoring the law and saying that people come here illegally, that there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know that that sells well with the American people. We have to present it properly and intelligently, but I don't think it's a hopeless situation, no. I do think, I know that according to the betting, or you know, you have organizations that place bets on the election, and they're betting that Obama's going to be reelected. The odds makers in London and all these other places, the odds are that they say the odds are heavily in Obama's favor, and the experts say that Obama's going to win. And on these round tables that they have on the Sunday talk shows, you know, usually 5 out of 6 of the so-called experts say that Obama's going to win. You know, that's what people, that's what they say. They expect him to win because he's the incumbent, because the media supports him, etc., etc. And there's no question that he has a lot of he has a lot of advantages, unfortunately. But I don't think it's hopeless. And some of the reasons why it's not hopeless include the terrible economy, the pessimism of the American people, and the radical agenda that Obama's been pursuing. If only we can get this out there, I don't think it's hopeless. I think that we still have a chance of defeating him. And the polls, by the way, show that the race is close, despite all of the advantages that Obama's had from the media and from all the other things he's been doing to try to get ahead. Still, the polls show the race is close. Anyway, thank you, Brennan fan. As usual, great question. And now the great Edu, for I think that stands for education, Edu writes, and I quote, "How can we effectively pressure Romney on the issue of Jonathan Pollard?" Unquote. Okay, fantastic question and very, very important. I'm happy to say that in Israel there was a demonstration at Romney's hotel urging him to free Jonathan Pollard. I hope that people are raising the issue with him. Unfortunately, I don't think Netanyahu will, because Netanyahu stabs everybody in the back. But we have to push. We have to push for Pollard's release. With Romney, maybe we have a chance if he gets elected, because of the evangelical Christians and the Orthodox Jews and the others who are helping Romney get elected. He will owe them something. So maybe we'll have a shot. I hope, God willing, of getting Jonathan Pollard released, and we have to keep pushing to get Jonathan Pollard released. One thing's for sure, with Obama, there's no chance of him being released. That we know for sure, God forbid. But yes, we have to keep up the pressure, no question about it. We can never forget about this Jewish hero and American hero, Jonathan Pollard. He should be freed. He should never have been put in prison to begin with. What he did saved the lives of many Americans and many Jews. Anyway, thank you, Edu. And now the great Brian. Another great JTFer writes, and I quote, "Why is it every poll shows Obama being much more likable than Romney?" Unquote. That is so sick. You're so right, Brian. You're absolutely right. It's just unbelievable. People like Obama. I mean, this is a guy who is a racist, who despises whites, Asians, Jews, and in the polls they like him. I mean, just insane. It's completely insane. It's completely insane. Inexplicable insanity. You know, it's literally mass insanity. Anyway, Brian also writes, "Also, can we allow a bit more text for the next show?" Unquote. Well, Brian, the reason we have limited text on the show is because we get a lot of questions, and we want to try to keep the time of the show down as much as possible. We don't want to do three-hour shows. It's difficult to do three-hour shows. It's difficult for our people to listen. Some of our people listen to a three-hour show. And we want to take portions of the shows also and put them on YouTube. And it's easier to do it if the shows have shorter questions and shorter comments. Thank you very much, Brian, and thanks for the great posts on the forum. And now the great Dr. Dan. Dr. Dan is the voice of common sense and wisdom and logic on our forum. It's always such a pleasure to see Dr. Dan's great posts. Dr. Dan writes, and I quote, "What do you think the appropriate solution should be for healthcare in the U.S. and Israel, Dr. Dan?" Unquote. Great question. I think the appropriate solution is a free market and competition. I think the best thing for doctors and for patients is a free market and competition. And when I say a free market and competition, that means less of this unnecessary, insane, bureaucratic paperwork. Doctors who are supposed to be healing people and curing people and helping people have to spend so much of their time on paperwork, on such nonsense, answering paperwork from bureaucrats and worrying about this tax issue and this bureaucratic issue and this bureaucratic regulation. That is something that retards the medical system and should be, and really we should try to smooth over the system and make it as easy as possible for people to practice medicine. And there should be competition. There should be free competition, because competition lowers costs. And if we have lower costs and less bureaucracy and less paperwork, I think that we'd have a much better situation. Also, I think we should have tax incentives for people to invent. We want to invent cures. We want to invent cures for cancer and heart disease and diabetes and all these terrible diseases. We want to invent ways for people who are blind or deaf or crippled to be able to walk again and see again and hear again. We want for all of these things. We want to invent cures for Alzheimer's and all of these diseases and or problems or issues that affect huge numbers of people in the world. If we can find medical advances, if we can find medical solutions, we are so improving people's lives and so changing people's worlds. The effect upon all of society would be so profound. And so I believe that we should have tax incentives for pharmaceutical companies, medical companies, doctors, anyone who wants to be an inventor and wants to create something that will help people, that will cure people. If they come up with an innovation that really has a tremendous effect and actually helps people who are sick or who are in need, I think there should be a great reward through the tax system for the companies that employ them, for the research institutes. There should be huge, of course, research institutes are supposed to be tax-free, but all the paperwork they have to do is absolutely deadly. If we freed them up, we could achieve much more and have a much greater push toward cures and toward medical advances and toward better medical care. And the world will be a better place for both doctors and for patients. Anyway, thank you very much, Dr. Dan. And now we go to the great Saint Noda Islam, who writes, and I quote, "What are your thoughts on the recent terrorist attack that took place in Bulgaria last week? Who do you think was responsible?" Unquote. There's no question Iran and Hezbollah were responsible. The terrorist suicide bomber was from Hezbollah, which is controlled by the Iranian terrorist regime. They were responsible. This is just another in a long track of murderous attacks from the Iranian Muslim Nazi terrorist regime. And if Israel had leaders that were worth even 2 cents, they would have immediately struck at Iran's nuclear bomb-making program after this attack. They would have said, these lunatics, this is what they do. They cannot have nuclear bombs. Murderous maniacs like this can never be allowed to have nuclear bombs. But once again, the Israeli government, the U.S. government, they allowed the Iranians to get away with it. Anyway, thank you, Say No to Islam. And now we go to the great Dear Man 420, who writes, and I quote, "What black action stories have you experienced or affirmative action stories have you seen since the last SJTF? Unquote. Well, actually, I switched my internet provider, and I made a lot of switches in the past month or two, and one of the switches was my internet provider. And also, it's the triple bundle, you know, with telephones and internet, and I switched on all those scores. And the company that I switched from, Time Warner, which is a horrible company, all of a sudden they hit me with this giant bill. Because when I canceled my service with them, I already had service with the other company. I have Fios now. So I already had service with another company. So when I quit Time Warner, they didn't take me off. Even though I wasn't using them, I had Fios, I called them up, I spoke to more than one person, I made it very clear I wanted disconnected, No, they're charging me even after they had someone come over here and disconnect the wires and pick up their equipment. They're still charging me as if I'm still their customer and giving me this gigantic bill. I mean, so I speak to somebody there, a moron who's completely illiterate. And then finally I say, all right, I want to speak to a supervisor. So I finally get through to the supervisor. And the supervisor's name is Attila. Attila. That's the name of the supervisor. Imagine a supervisor called Attila. So I said, your name is Attila, like in Attila the Hun? And she said, what? Now, let me explain something. In Ebonics, what is what? That's how you say what in Ebonics. What? She said, what? When I said Attila the Hun. She didn't know what I was talking about, by the way. She's named after Attila the Hun. She has the same name as Attila the Hun, and she didn't even know who Attila the Hun is. She had no idea, no concept, no. And she's a supervisor. She's in charge of other people. Other people work under her in a major American corporation that millions of people depend on for computer service, for telephone service, it's unbelievable for cable television. It's unbelievable. And she said, completely, absolutely not helpful. She said, well, it don't matter. It don't matter that you have another company. You still got us. Even if you got another company, you still got us. Mm-hmm. This is the way she said, I mean, what would I need them for when I have another company? I'm paying another company to do all these services. What the hell would I need them for? Why would I want to pay them? I had the wires that disconnected. How could I have you when my wires were disconnected already? She said, that don't mean that you ain't getting service just because you ain't got no wires. That don't mean you ain't getting service. So finally, I got so fed up with her. So finally, I said, so she said, you complain whoever you want to complain to. Just remember my name is Attila. So I said, I can't forget your name, Attila. I said, because I believe in word association. I'm just going to go to your superiors. I'm going to say, I spoke to Attila. Because I want to remember your name. I'm just going to say to them, I spoke to Attila the gorilla. Because it rhymes. No, it's just because she said, what? And I said, well, I said, it rhymes. I said, Attila the gorilla.
I am not a gorilla.
I don't know about that. I said, I've never met you in person. I said, you sound like one on the telephone.
I am not a gorilla. I do not. How dare you call up and make that call me a gorilla?
I said, I didn't say you're a gorilla. I said, your name is Attila the gorilla. Anyway, we didn't get very far. And, this is what you deal with these companies. It's just, it just doesn't change. And, of course, it's going to get much, much worse unless the American people wake up one of these days. Anyway, thank you, dear man. And now we go to the great Lone Ranger, who writes, and I quote, should the U.S. and NATO forces intervene on the side of the Syrian rebels trying to oust Assad in Syria, unquote. No. No. Let Assad stay in power and let the civil war go on and let the Muslims keep killing each other instead of killing us. Absolutely not. The more civil war, the better. Anyway, thank you very much, Lone Ranger. And now we go on to Angry Chinese Kahanist, who is one of our veteran members who's been with us way before we had forum. Way before we had the forums, by the way. 6 years ago, we started the English forum. Way before we had the forums, Angry Chinese Kahanis was with us. He's one of our real veteran JTFers. Angry Chinese Kahanis writes now, and I quote, how can we get young people to move away from Obama, unquote. Okay, very, very good question. The problem is the news media and Hollywood have convinced young people that it's cool to be from the ghetto and from housing projects and to be a low-life animal, just running around with baggy pants and running around screaming like a vulgar savage. This is cool. That's what young people have been told is cool. We have to show them that it is not cool. It's not cool to be an ugly, nasty, low IQ, ignorant, drug addicted, raping, evil, low life, immoral, illegitimate piece of garbage from a housing project. That is not cool. That is the most uncool thing that anybody could ever be. I mean, to be a piece of low-life garbage is certainly not cool. And if we get people to understand that that culture is evil and disgusting, maybe then they won't be attracted to Barack Hussein Obama, who is the representative of the people who have given us that evil culture. Because Obama is the candidate of that culture, of the housing projects, of the news media, of Hollywood, of all the destructive, depraved, decadent forces that are eating away at the heart and soul of America. We've got to move young people away from that. If we move them away from that, they won't be interested in Obama anymore. Anyway, thank you very much, Angry Chinese Kahanist. And now we go to the great Gambashan Vegam Gilad, who is, of course, very, very active on our Hebrew forum, one of our great global mods on our Hebrew forum. And Gambashan writes, and I quote, "Hello, dear Chaim, what is your opinion about Harav Nir Ben Arzi Shlita? Thank you, and Shavua Tov, Gambashan Vegam Gilad." Unquote. I don't know what to say because I don't know enough about him. I don't know him personally. I read, along with everybody else, I remember the stories about him being kidnapped, supposedly, and about some of the other accusations that were made back and forth. So I don't know. I don't know enough about him. I can tell you that I'm very uneasy about any rabbi who in any way hints that he may be the Messiah. That makes me very uncomfortable. Okay, because Harambam and Chazal give us certain minimum requirements for a Messiah, for Mashiach. And for somebody to present themselves as Mashiach, they have to accomplish a hell of a lot. A hell of a lot to reach that point. They have to become the leader of Israel, of Am Yisrael. They have to be able to regather the exiles, Kibbutz Galuyot. They have to be able to defeat all of Israel's enemies in war. They have to become not only the unquestioned leader of Israel that brings the Jewish people to do tshuva, that brings them back to do repentance, and that brings them back to Torah. They also have to convince the nations of the world, those who survive among the nations of the world after they defeated Israel's enemies, they have to convince them to accept the rule of God in the world. And they have to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. So there's a lot that Mashiach has to do. And when you have rabbis, and I don't know if he's claimed that he's the Mashiach, but it's claimed about him. They claim that he hints that he's the Mashiach, or that his followers say that he's a Mashiach. If that's true, that can be problematic. Again, I don't know. I'm not saying I don't know. Maybe what's being said about him is wrong and unjust. If it is, then I'm sorry that it's being said about him. But if it is true that he's hinting that he's a Mashiach, I would be very uncomfortable with that. And Gambashan, no one wants the Mashiach to come more than me. I long for the day. I pray 3 times a day that the Mashiach come. I long for the day for the Mashiach to come. But I want the real Mashiach. So again, I don't know. So I'm reserving judgment. I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just saying that I've heard all types of things back and forth, and I just don't know enough to say one way or the other. I just don't know enough. Anyway, thank you very much, Gambashan. Ani modelecha al ha sheela baruch hashav derech agav. And now we go to the great Mishmat, our great global moderator Mishmat, who writes, and I quote, "Was it really necessary for Mitt Romney to make that disgraceful appearance at the NAACP convention?" Unquote. Well, no, I agree with you. I don't think it's good that we have people who feel that they have to appear at conventions of organizations that honor Louis Farrakhan. The NAACP honors Louis Farrakhan, who has praised Hitler and has said that the whites are a devil race that have to be exterminated, and that the Jews deserve a Holocaust, and that Hitler was a great man. That's who the NAACP honors at their convention. They've honored Farrakhan. They openly attend and have busloads of their people and rent buses and attend and promote his rallies. So this is a racist, anti-white, anti-Semitic organization. I don't think that a self-respecting person should attend their convention, in my opinion. I know Romney actually wanted to go there in a way to confront them, and he was booed there. And I think he was trying to show that he has the guts to confront them. But I think he could have picked a different way to do it. I agree with you. Anyway, thank you very much, Mishmat. And now we go to Earth Last Hope, who I think is new to the forum. Yes, Earth Last Hope writes, and I quote, welcome to our forum, Earth Last Hope. Earth Last Hope writes, 1, what is the Kabbalah? 2, isn't the Kabbalah connected to Gnosticism? Unquote. No. The answer to your second question is no. And the answer to your first question is the Kabbalah is understanding of Jewish prophecy and of predictions of what the world is going to be like in the future. It's predictions of what we expect the world to be like in the future and trying to comprehend the complexities of Jewish prophecy, because Hebrew prophecy and Jewish prophecy is extremely complex, extremely difficult. All types of symbolism and all types of incredible codes, very, very complex. And Kabbalah is also extremely complex. You have to be a real Torah scholar to even begin to understand Kabbalah. It is very, very complex. Kabbalah deals with the future. It deals with prophecy. It deals with what we expect to see in the future, what we anticipate in the future when God finally brings about judgment in the world and when the world changes, when God finally rules over the world. How is that going to happen? What's going to happen? That's what Kabbalah is all about. It's brilliant. It's fascinating. But it's extremely complex, and one really has to be a Torah scholar to understand it, or if one wants to know some of the details, one has to learn about it from Torah scholars. Anyway, thank you very much, Earth Last Hope. And now, the great Gematria! Baruch Hashav! Oh, it's so great to see the great Gematria again. Gematria writes now, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, how do you foresee the media playing a role this November? Will the sodomite Chris Matthews openly profess his love?" Unquote. The media will do everything they can to re-elect Barack Hussein Obama. They will lie, cheat, distort, smear. That's what they will do. And they already started it, but this is nothing. We're going to see everything plus the kitchen sink thrown at Mitt Romney, and we're going to see every attempt to protect and shield Barack Hussein Obama, which is what they've been doing ever since this black Muslim Jew hater came onto the political scene. So you're going to see the media do everything they can to distort all reality. As far as Chris Matthews is concerned, if you recall his infamous statement, he said that when he sees Obama, he gets a tingle up his leg. That's what he said. That's what Chris Matthews said. He gets a tingle up his leg when he hears Obama speaking. I don't think that sounds normal. But then again, who am I to judge? I think that sounds pretty weird. Anyway, thank you so much, Gematria. It's great to see you again. And now the great Uli. Great to see Uli again as well. The great Uli writes, and I quote, "Hello, Chaim. Why are the USA always supporting Salafists in the so-called Arab Spring? I think this will turn against it and will harm Israel also," unquote. Absolutely, I agree with you completely. The United States does this because the United States thinks that they're going to get on the good side of the Arabs and the Muslims. They're going to say to the Arabs and the Muslims, or if it's in a non-Arab Muslim country, They're going to show the Muslims, you see, we're on your side. We're on the side of the people. We're even supporting those of you, the religious zealots, just to show that we're for freedom and democracy and free expression and free religion. They're trying to show that they're on the side of the Arab masses, of the Arab street in Egypt and Libya and Syria and all these other countries. Of course, this is insanity. This is what they did with Jimmy Carter in Iran in the late 1970s. When the United States under Jimmy Carter actively worked to help the Ayatollahs overthrow the Shah of Iran and put in an Islamic fanatic regime of terrorists in charge of Iran, and we've been paying the price ever since. This is the same exact strategy here. And we see in Egypt, for instance, that the Salafists are a big force in the Egyptian parliament now, and of course the jihadists control Egypt now. They're in charge of the Egyptian government. And this, you can thank Barack Hussein Obama for pushing for this. And it's complete insanity. Complete insanity. Anyway, thank you so much, Uli, and it's great to see you again, Uli. And now we go to the great Aces High, a great JTFer who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, do you think Israel will fight Hezbollah better than they did in 2006 with Netanyahu now as prime minister?" Unquote. Well, if they do fight better, it's only because the last time they lost against Hezbollah, it was a devastating blow to Ehud Olmert, or as we call him, Ehud Smolmert's government. He actually had high approval ratings and high popularity going into the Lebanon War in 2006, and because Israel did not win that war and came out looking so pathetic, justifiably, his popularity went all the way down, and it really was the end for him. I mean, it really crushed him politically. So I don't think Netanyahu wants that to happen to him. So it's possible Israel will fight better for that reason only, but not because Netanyahu is a strong leader or a better leader than Ehud Olmert. He's not. He's worse. Netanyahu is worse than Ehud Olmert. Netanyahu is worse than the leftist prime ministers, than the openly leftist prime ministers. He's done more harm to the Jews in Judea and Samaria than the leftist prime ministers. He's expelling Jews left and right. He's freezing Jewish building in Judea and Samaria. He is a disaster. Anyway, thank you very much, Aces High. And now, the great EB22, the fantastic EB22, writes, and I quote, "Please discuss the concern of voter fraud by BHO and company, especially in relation to the politically correct Romney campaign and Republican establishment," unquote. Very, very important issue that you raise, EB. Very important issue. We do have a lot of voter fraud. And many people show up at the polls. We have illegal aliens voting. We have dead people voting. People's dogs have voted. Little babies vote. In other words, people use names of any names they can get their hands on and vote. There are people who vote, some people who vote repeatedly, fraudulently. There are places, especially in black ghetto areas, in dangerous black ghetto areas, where there are not going to be any Romney supporters there to watch how they count the votes. So they could double the amount of votes that Obama supposedly got. There are places where they could easily, fraudulently increase the Obama vote and decrease the Romney vote. There are places in this country where it's possible to do that, and when you don't have both campaigns watching, that is something that undoubtedly takes place among Obama supporters. So there is voter fraud. It is a very real problem. You always have Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and all these black leaders telling us, oh, that's something that doesn't exist. That's just in our imagination. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Doesn't exist, just like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are not anti-Semites and racists. Yeah. Like Al Sharpton didn't call whites interlopers and didn't say Jews are all diamond smugglers and didn't say Greeks are all homos and didn't incite the Crown Heights pogrom that led to the murder of Yonkel Rosenbaum by a black mob, and didn't incite the attack on Freddy's where where six store employees were murdered in cold blood. No, Al Sharpton had nothing to do with any of that. No, of course not. These are liars and frauds, and we know Acorn and these other organizations have been involved in massive voter fraud, and if there was a true investigation, we would find that there has indeed been massive voter fraud. And let me remind you, EB, that John F. Kennedy was elected president because of voter fraud. There is no question Richard Nixon won that election in 1960 against John F. Kennedy. Kennedy won in Illinois and in Texas because of voter fraud. Mayor Richard Daley took the ballot boxes in Cook County in Chicago and upped the vote, increased the Kennedy vote just enough to put Kennedy right over the top. Right over the top so that he would narrowly carry Illinois, and everybody knows it was completely fraudulent. In Texas, where Lyndon Johnson and his political machine were in charge, again, Kennedy very narrowly supposedly won Texas after dead people voted, and dogs voted, and babies voted. Everything under the sun voted in Texas. I mean, there was no question there was voter fraud there. If there had been a true investigation, and if Nixon had had the guts to challenge the results, which he should have done, there's no question, I don't think there's any question that Nixon won that election. So elections have been stolen in this country. And I hope if it's a very close election this time, they tried to do it in 2000 also. The Gore people would have loved to have stolen the Bush election, but everybody was watching them too closely in Florida. I hope if it's very close this time that they don't succeed in stealing the election. I hope not. We've got to definitely be very, very vigilant about this. Unfortunately, the Romney campaign and the Republican establishment do not dare speak about this because they're so afraid they're going to be called racist. And they're so afraid the media is going to condemn them. And they're so afraid the media is going to say, no, you're not allowed to talk about that. Well, EB, they won't talk about it. We have to. We have to speak about it. You're absolutely right. Anyway, thank you so much, EB. And now we go to the great Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, if you became Prime Minister of Israel, would you immediately seize the Temple Mount and remove the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque, unquote. If I became Prime Minister of Israel, certainly our goal would be to take control of the Temple Mount again and to remove those evil mosques. Absolutely would be our goal. When you say immediately, though, the first thing we would have to do, we couldn't do it immediately because the first thing we would have to do is first get control of the Supreme Court. We'd have to pass a law through the Knesset. If we were in the government, we would have a majority in the Knesset. We'd have to pass a law changing how people are selected for the Supreme Court. We'd have to replace the Supreme Court of Israel because they would stop everything we would try to do if we didn't. We've got to get the Supreme Court out. We've got to change the prosecutor's office. We've got to change the judiciary. We've got to change the army generals and the people who head the police. If we control the prosecutor's office and the police and the army and the Supreme Court and the news media, if we control those levers of power in Israel the way the multinational corporate radical left controls it now, if we had control of that, then we could take action in this area and in all the other necessary areas. But first, we're going to have that power struggle to take control and to make sure that true right-wing, loyal, God-fearing Jews are in charge of all of those areas of power in the state of Israel. Anyway, thank you very much, Maimonides. And now we go to the great Hindu Zionist. It's so good to see you, Hindu Zionist. Hindu Zionist writes now, and I quote, do you think China or Japan can be allies of Israel, and allies in what terms? Industrial or diplomatic support for Jewish homeland against Palestine, unquote. Well, I don't think that China or Japan or other countries of the world are going to diplomatically support Israel. No matter what, they're not going to support Israel. And the reason they're not going to support Israel is because they want Arab oil, and they don't want to antagonize 1.5 billion Muslims, and they want Arab investments from the Arab oil. I think it's crazy. All of those things, I think, are actually bad for all of these countries. But they don't think that way. And so they're not going to support. They're not going to support Israel diplomatically. But, I think that countries like China and Japan and many other countries in the world will want to have increased trade and even arms agreements with Israel. They will want Israel to sell them arms and to have increased trade. And we'll be able to do that if we're in power. Because if we're in power, we're not going to have U.S. foreign aid anymore. We're not going to accept any more U.S. foreign aid. With U.S. foreign aid comes all types of strings that are attached. We're not allowed to sell. We're not allowed. We need permission. We need to ask permission from Washington. That's going to end. We're going to be independent. We're not going to get foreign aid from anybody. So we will be able to sell arms that don't endanger the security of the state of Israel, of course. We will be able to sell. I think we're going to have actually a closer relationship with India. I think with India we're going to have a much closer relationship than with these other countries. But even India is not going to be diplomatically. I don't think India will diplomatically be supporting us. I think that India will do a lot of trade with us, and there'll be a lot of buying back and forth, and it'll be a mutually beneficial relationship. And of course, we will support the Hindu nationalists in India because they're the ones that understand the Muslim threat. But I think we will have better trade relations and better arms sales and have a much more profitable situation, a much better economic situation for Israel if we're in power. Anyway, but diplomatically, I don't think so. But diplomatically, they'll continue voting against us in the UN. That's fine. But meanwhile, when it comes to practical trade and other things, I think that we'll have a much more beneficial and balanced relationship. Anyway, thank you very much, Hindu Zionist. And now, death to Islam, 1776. It's always good to see you. Death to Islam, 1776, writes, and I quote, "Please share your impressions from your first meeting with Dan Ben Noach. Did he have to travel far to come to the meeting?" Unquote. Dan Ben Noach had to travel, actually, a very long distance to come to the meeting. He came very far away. I don't want to say exactly where he came from, but it was indeed a very long distance. He traveled very far from a completely different part of the country. And it's the third time that he's come to our meetings in New York from this very long distance, traveling this very long distance. Our impression of Dan Ben Noach is always that we are immensely impressed with him. He is a wonderful person. He is extremely talented, extremely intelligent, a fascinating person, just great to be around, absolutely fantastic person, absolutely fantastic person. And it's always a pleasure, an honor and a privilege to meet Dan Ben Noach, and an honor and a privilege, of course, to work with Dan Ben Noach. Thank you very much, Death to Islam, 1776. I thank you. That was a great question. And now we go to The Great Kahana Was Right. The Great Kahana Was Right writes, and I quote, "Will Ben Bernanke seek to influence the upcoming presidential election through Federal Reserve monetary policy?" Unquote. Fantastic question. Very important question, as always. Kahana Was Right always asks the best questions. I think that the strategy, because you only have 3 months to go to election day, and you know, if you try to manipulate monetary policy and try to manipulate the currency and do the various other things that Bernanke has been doing to rig the economy, it's very hard to get an impact from that in only 3 months. Usually you don't get much impact so quickly. You know, it's very hard to get such a quick impact. He doesn't have much time left to get a big impact before election day. But the crazy stock market goes way up every time the Federal Reserve intervenes, which is crazy. It should be the opposite, because when the Federal Reserve intervenes, it's bad for the economy. But the stupid stock market thinks that temporarily it's going to do something positive, so the stock market goes way up when the Federal Reserve intervenes, or at least sometimes goes way up temporarily. So he may try to influence markets by intervening, just to influence markets and get them to go up before election day. That's a possibility. At least that's how I see him behaving, because Ben Bernanke knows that Mitt Romney is going to get rid of him. I mean, Ben Bernanke is going to be fired if Mitt Romney's elected. On the other hand, since he's been a good loyal self-hating Jewish slave, to his Muslim master, Barack Hussein Obama. His Muslim master, Barack Hussein Obama, will almost certainly keep Ben Bernanke if Obama's reelected, God forbid. Anyway, great question as always. Kahana was right. Thank you so much. Absolutely fantastic question, and thank you for everything you contribute to the forum. And now the great Confederate Kahanist, the great Confederate Kahanist who does videos for us and has such great posts on the forum. What a great JTFer. Confederate Kahanist writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, have you noticed that Barack Hussein Obama's policies have caused older Americans to put off retirement?" Unquote. Yes, I have. And in fact, I've noticed that older Americans in general are terrified about the future because of Obama. I mean, I see this. I know Americans in their 60s, 70s, even 80s. I happen to know Americans who are in their 80s. And they are terrified. They don't know what's coming with Obama. First of all, they're frightened for the future of the country. They're frightened for the future of their children and their grandchildren. And for themselves. They don't know what else Obama's going to do that will disrupt Medicare, Social Security. He already took $500 million out of Medicare to help fund his socialist Obamacare plan. So older Americans are very, very worried. Very, very worried. He's causing tremendous fear among older Americans. Justifiable fear, because they see that he's wrecking the economy and wrecking things that are essential to them, that they've come to depend upon. Things that they paid into and things that they've come to depend upon. So they're terrified. They really are afraid. Hopefully that will lead to a huge elderly vote that will come out for Mitt Romney. I hope so, God willing. Anyway, thank you so much, Confederate Kahanist. And now we go to the great one and only Mo. And Mo, you really are the one and only. You really are. You're absolutely fantastic. Mo writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, how would you have handled all major Israeli wars and land negotiations?" Unquote. Okay. Very, very important question. Israeli wars, obviously our goal would have been to win as decisive a victory as possible, as quickly as possible, without any concern. When there's an issue of public opinion versus the lives of our soldiers and the lives of Jews who are in danger in these wars, not one Jewish life would be sacrificed for the sake of so-called world opinion. Never. Never. Our goal would be to save every Jewish life and the life of every soldier and the life of every Jewish civilian, and to inflict maximum possible damage on our enemies, and to win the war as decisively as possible, and not agree to premature ceasefires, and not accept pressure not to complete what we start out to do in the war. That would be our goal. We would win quickly and decisively, and would fight ferociously, and we would not be worried about Muslim Nazi civilians and so-called world opinion and all these other ridiculous things. We would not be concerned about any of that. Our sole concern would be to protect the survival and security of our people and our country. And as far as land negotiations, there wouldn't be any land negotiations. There's nothing to negotiate. Every inch that we liberate is instantly part of the land of Israel, instantly becomes part of the land of Israel, is instantly annexed into the Jewish homeland, every inch of the land of Israel. And there's nothing to negotiate. We immediately begin a program to encourage the Arabs who live in those areas to leave, and a program to settle as many Jews there as possible. Anyway, thank you very much, Mo. Great questions. And now, the great Noam Obama 2012. The great Noam Obama writes, and I quote, "I'm so glad this forum is back," unquote. Oh, so am I. I really love doing this program, and I love speaking to our great JTFers. Thank you so much, Noam Obama. Thank you. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, another one of our great members. Tag Mechir Tzedek writes, and I quote, "Please talk about Syria and the best outcome for Israel, besides them just fighting endlessly. Who would you want to win eventually?" Unquote. Tag Mechir, I do want them to fight endlessly. But eventually, if I have to pick somebody, I want the dumbest side to win. I want the ones that tell us openly that their goal is to destroy us, not the smarter, more clever ones who say in Arabic they want to destroy us, but say in English that they're willing to negotiate peace. I don't want clever enemies. I don't want smart enemies. I don't want Sadat-type enemies. Sadat is a dangerous Arab, a clever Arab, an Arab snake. I want the dumb ones who are dumb enough to tell us openly what they... because they all want to destroy us. I want the ones who are dumb enough to tell us openly what they really want. That's the enemy that I would prefer to deal with. Anyway, thank you so much, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And how I love doing this program. How I really enjoyed and loved every minute of this program. It's great being back with Ask JTF and speaking to our great JTFers. Until next week, Shalom.